Welcome to the Keynote Podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
We've been blessed these last weeks as God has been unfolding to us what it really means to love Him with all our hearts, all our minds, all our souls. Of course, we have to see the outworking of all this, but that's beginning to happen. So now we come to what it means to love the Lord with all our strength. And there's a paradox here, because to love God with all your strength is really to do nothing. That is to say, to do nothing in your own strength. You cannot separate love from faith. In his great hymn of love, in 1 Corinthians 13, Paul says this. If indeed Paul wrote this, some conjecture that it was a sort of a hymn of love or a statement of love that was very widespread at the time, and Paul incorporated it into this letter. But he probably wrote it anyway, so it's what it says that matters. But it's like something that's been inserted into the argument that Paul is making in 1 Corinthians 12 and 14. But of course, it's a wonderful portion of Scripture that we greatly value. And he says this, "Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails." Love always trusts. So if we love God with all our hearts, we trust Him with all our hearts. Trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. If we love Him with all our soul, then we want every aspect of our soul life to express faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and all that He has done for us, what it means to live in Christ and to have Christ living in us. If we love Him with all our minds, not only will our minds be renewed, but with renewed minds, we will be full of faith thinking, faith attitudes towards anything and everything that takes place in our lives. So if we love the Lord with all our strength, then that not only means that we will give ourselves over to acts of love towards other people, but we will also, if you like, summon up everything in our lives to express trust in Him. And because we read in Hebrews that the one who trusts the Lord rests from his own labors, it's not trying to love God with all our own activity, our natural activity, but to really trust Him wholeheartedly with everything that we have, so that His life and His love and His power and His presence and His holiness and His joy and His peace and everything that He is expressed through us. That we're not trying to do things for God, but we're letting Him do things in us and through us. So we need to focus, really where we began this term, on faith. Become sort of full circle. Now, Jesus said, you see, we don't need a lot of faith. We just need the right kind of faith. that if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, go and throw yourself into the sea, and it will be done. Or if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can say to this sycamore tree, be uprooted and thrown into the sea, and it will be moved. Mustard seed is very small. You can hold it easily in the palm of your hand. And of course, while it's in your hand, it accomplishes nothing. Seed has to be planted if it is to bear fruit. And Jesus likens the word to seed in several of his parables. The parable of the sower, for example. The sower went forth to sow his seed. So faith dares. Faith dares. Faith is daring. Faith dares to believe what God says. Faith dares to hold on to his word, even when all the circumstances seem totally contrary, even when our feelings seem so negative. Faith dares to believe what God says, even in the face of what seems totally impossible. The moving of a mountain to the natural is impossible. Just speaking to a tree and expecting it to uproot itself and throw itself into the sea is totally impossible to natural thinking. But faith dares to believe that if we stand upon what God has said, his word will always, always, always be fulfilled. That God will always honor his word. He is not a man that he would lie. He is not a God who revokes his word, because his words are the words of eternal life. They are words of spirit and life, and heaven and earth will pass away, but his words will never pass away. Now, it's one thing to know that it's right to stand upon his word. It's another thing to do it. You only live by faith when you stand upon the word of God. There was a testimony that I heard several years ago now. Some of you, the older ones, may remember that there was an air traffic accident at Tenerife in the Canary Islands when one jumbo jet landed on top of another. And it ripped off the roof of the plane that was underneath, and it burst into flames. Many, many people were killed. But there was a testimony of one man who was the only one to survive in his cabin. He was a believer, obviously, but as soon as the accident happened, he just shot to his feet and said, Lord, I stand upon your word. And something took hold of him, lifted him up, and just threw him out of the plane. Everybody else in that cabin was burnt alive, really. There was a man who understood God's faithfulness to his word. He traveled the world on the good of that testimony, speaking at many conferences, blessing many people. But this is the power of God's word. And in a situation like that, daring to stand upon his word, knowing that God will never revoke his word, he will never break his word, he will never change his word. He will always endorse his word, he will always fulfill his word, and he will always honor faith in his word. So often, our lives are full of conflict between what we feel and what God says, what the world says and what God says, what others say and what God says. All the time in the life of faith, we hold on to what God says in the face of everything that is contrary and counter to what he says. So faith dares to stand on God's word in the face of all opposition. Doesn't matter what the enemy tries to do, doesn't matter what he says, doesn't matter what anybody else tries to do to you, you stand on the word of God if you're a person of faith. You always trust. This is really what it means to love God with all your strength. Not for you to do something, but to put all your strength in the Lord's strength and in his mighty power. He is obviously able to accomplish far more than anything we can do in the natural. So we're a blessed people. Now, if we dare to stand on the word of God, we would dare to obey the leading of the Holy Spirit. No matter what it is he tells us to do, no matter what it is that he leads us to do, because the ministry of the Holy Spirit is to take the word of God and declare it to us. Faith comes from hearing the word of God, from the Holy Spirit taking the Logos and making it a rhema, making it a spoken word into our hearts. Faith dares to believe what the Holy Spirit says. Faith dares to step out in obedience to the leading of the Holy Spirit. So the scripture speaks of the obedience of faith. Obedience to his word, obedience to the leading of the Spirit. Fear is the enemy of love, but it's also therefore the enemy of faith. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind, of right thinking. So if we have that spirit of faith operating in our lives, we will not fear to step out in obedience to God's word. We will not fear to step out in obedience to the Holy Spirit, no matter what the Spirit is leading us to do. Fear paralyzes people into inactivity. So we always have the option to listen to our fears or to listen to our faith. If we're listening to God, then we're listening to the voice of faith. Why? Because he is the author and perfecter of our faith. So you would have no faith apart from Jesus. If he hadn't authored faith in you, you wouldn't have any faith. You would only have natural faith, because to everyone is given the measure of faith, even to non-believers. But of course, that's natural faith that is a contradiction to faith in Jesus. But you have been given faith, otherwise you would not have been saved. God even gave you the faith to trust in his grace so that you could receive salvation. But this is the nature of faith. You remember what we had a few weeks ago with the chairs. Holiness is really that faith in God's grace, and then the love, then the purity, and then the power. I was preaching about it again on Sunday in Crawley. But it's faith in God's grace. It's by faith in His grace that we were saved. But even the faith was the work of God in your heart. Without Him authoring that faith, you would not have had the faith to trust in His grace for salvation. And God's purpose, you see, is to not just author faith, but to perfect our faith. And as you know, in Scripture, perfection is completion. So what He wants is for us to love Him with all our strength. In other words, to have perfect faith, complete faith. What that means, of course, is to operate by faith in every situation in which we're placed. Now, God has given every one of us in this room promises. We have the promises of His Word. We probably have personal promises that God has given us by His Spirit in prayer. As a church, we have promises of what God is going to do here in Kingdom Faith and among Kingdom Faith, not only locally, but nationally and beyond. But none of those promises will be fulfilled without faith. We believe the promise that God has given. So that promise becomes as a seed. But seeds need to be planted and they need to be watered. So when we pray about any situation, whether it's a healing situation, provision situation, whatever it may be, what we need to do is to first plant the seed of God's Word, because we know He will honor His Word. And so in our Bibles, we have a whole sack of seed. But like a good farmer, you choose which seed you need for the particular season that you're sowing. So you know, and the Holy Spirit will, of course, will help you and guide you in this, that you need to take take the appropriate seed and plant that seed in prayer. Now, once you plant it, you don't keep planting it. You don't dig it up and plant it again. If you were to do that, it would never come to fruition. It would never come to fulfillment. Once you've planted the seed, you then water it. But of course, it has to be planted in good soil, and Jesus says the good soil is the believing heart. That you believe in your heart that that seed is going to come to fulfillment. So you water it with thanksgiving. Because we're told to pray at all times with thanksgiving and to give thanks in all circumstances. Why does God tell us to give thanks in all circumstances? Well, this is His good, acceptable, perfect will. But why is it His good, acceptable, perfect will to always give thanks? Because we're giving thanks over those seeds that we planted. We're giving thanks to God for His faithfulness, knowing that He will honor His Word, knowing that He will honor faith in His Word. And of course, this is where loving God with all your heart and mind and soul all come together, because there's no use planting a seed in prayer and then contradicting what you say you believe in your conversation, in your attitudes, in the other parts of your life. You can't separate your prayer life from the person that you are. So if we have planted a seed with faith, we are constantly giving thanks to God for the fulfillment of that word, be it a promise or be it something that God says he will do. We are thankful, ever thankful, until we see the outworking of that word in experience. So the scripture says that we are always to persevere in prayer and not give up. So Jesus teaches the sowing of the seed in faith, but he also teaches this perseverance, that you keep on asking, you keep on knocking, you keep on seeking. Because that's what the Greek means, this continuous process. So you keep on watering, you keep on watering, you keep on thanking God, you keep on affirming the truth of that seed that you have sown. You persevere and don't give up. How many times have believers thought that they started with faith, but they gave up? And if they gave up, it means they didn't really have true faith. Listen, they didn't even have true love. Listen, love rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes. Hope, remember, relates to the future. It always perseveres. So actually, we are expressing love for God when we trust him. We're actually trusting in his love. We're honoring him. We're honoring him for his love. We are demonstrating that we believe our Father is trustworthy, that our Savior is trustworthy. He is faithful. You remember in the book of Revelation, it says that the two names that are written upon Jesus in heaven are faithful and true. He is faithful to his word, and his words are words of truth. Now, I'm not saying to you anything that you don't know. We're just bringing all this together at this point in time when God has been doing a deep and profound work in many of us. So you love God now more than you did at the beginning of term. Thank you for affirming that. I'm a person of faith, so I speak that over your life. But no, we know in the discipleship groups that God really has been doing a profound work. Some of you are in the midst of something. God is really sorting you out. That's standard for term two. Term one, God gives you revelation. Term two, he takes you apart. Term three, he puts you back together again. It's like that every year. So if you feel you're being taken apart, just say hallelujah. And thank you, Lord, that when I come back next term, you'll put me back together again. But having dealt with the things that he needed to deal with, hallelujah. When God's doing a number on you, it's always just a question of holding on to his coattails. And you know that he'll bring you through. And when you come through, you'll be in a much better place than you were before you started. It's really just this pruning process that he takes us all through so that we are then more fruitful still. So praise God. But faith dares to act. Faith dares to speak. Faith dares to take God at his word in the face of everything that seems to be opposed. Faith dares to hold on to that word, no matter how desperate things seem at times. Faith dares to trust God, even when traumatic things are happening, like that air crash But you see, if you imagine yourself being in that kind of position, you wouldn't have any time to get faith. Why did that one man be the only one who survived in that cabin? Because that man was the only one that had the kind of faith that enabled him to stand on God's word in what must have been a terrifying moment. I mean, it must have been instantaneous, because apparently the place just burst into flames. So, hallelujah. God is good. You wonder how on earth he could have been lifted up. Well, God has angels. Nothing is impossible for God. And actually, that's quite high, you know, jumbo jets. So, boom. Yeah, landed on the wing and so on. So, God, for him, nothing is impossible. But then Jesus also says, all things are possible to those who have faith. So it isn't that I need great faith in the sense of, Lord, I need more faith, more faith, more faith. He says, no, you just need that little seed, but you plant it. You water it. You act upon it. You just need to listen to the voice of my spirit and dare to step out in faith in whatever he tells you to do. Whether it's to pray for somebody to be healed on the street or in the supermarket or whatever simple thing like that, or whatever else, you step out in the obedience of faith. And in doing that, you are expressing love for God. You see, how can you say you love God if you don't take his word seriously? And taking his word seriously is not just studying it or knowing it or being able to recite it. Taking his word seriously is to act upon it. So, in all the years that I was traveling in ministry, I always longed for the time of action after the word. That would be the time when things happened. And I had 200 or 300 people stay behind at the end of the meeting to bear testimony to how they'd been healed during the meeting. This is not, you know, raise your hand if you think you've been healed. This is people actually staying behind, perhaps for even up to an hour, because took a time to hear testimonies of 200 or 300 people, even though it was a brief word. But just to hear of the things that God was able to do in sort of 20, 30 minutes of ministry. But of course, the point is this. You know, the signs and wonders that God performs are to confirm his word. The time really to move in healing power and in the supernatural is after the word has been preached. Why? Because faith comes from hearing the word. And you see, it's not that you have to preach about healing. I very rarely preached about healing. I often preached about faith. But the point is, if you're preaching the gospel, which is the truth of God's word, God will confirm the gospel with signs following. This is what he teaches us to expect. In the local church, you know, people, in any local church, people don't usually come with that expectation every week that after the word we're going to see miracles. But I believe God is so gracious that he wants to bring us to a point where that's what we believe. That every Sunday will be a miracle Sunday. And you know, that we will see the evidence of that. That we will see people being healed, and we will see the evidence that they have been healed. I mean, you can't see evidence of somebody with an internal cancer, for example. But there's usually visible evidence. And the thing that was always concerned me in ministry was that in integrity, I never wanted people to say or to claim anything that wasn't real. It wasn't, well, I'm standing in faith for my healing. That's great. If you're standing in faith for your healing, praise God. But the testimonies we wanted was of what God had actually done. What he'd actually done during the course of the meeting. Whether people received the laying on of hands, or whether it was just through words of faith that were spoken, however God did it, things happened. And that the testimonies that come forth are testimonies of what really has actually taken place. Because, you see, that encourages people, doesn't it? It encourages people that God works. Faith in the Word works. The Holy Spirit among us works. And I believe that this is what God is leading us towards. Not some time distant in the future, but this is his plan and purpose for us in the immediate future. Jesus knew that he couldn't evangelize without the signs and wonders that accompanied the word. As you read the Acts of the Apostles, and we're going through that now, we've seen what Peter and John did in chapter 3, we've seen what Stephen did in chapter 6. Signs and wonders accompanying the teaching and proclamation of God's word. Why not? I've just received an invitation to go and preach in the church in Luton, where it all happened, because they're celebrating the 50th anniversary. Well, I was there 40-odd years ago now. So it was a young church then, but it's 50 years old this year. And I was speaking to somebody from there a little while ago, and they were saying to me that, of course, the people who are there now had no idea of what happened 40 years ago. So it's going to be interesting to go back, and whether God will want me to say anything about what happened in the days of past or not, I don't know. But you see, the point is that we want to be in that place where God is being glorified. In the faith confession that I speak over my life, one of the scriptures that I use, and this is a scripture that God is highlighting for me at present, is when Jesus says, I will give you whatever you ask in prayer, that the Son may bring glory to the Father. And what the Lord has been saying to me is, the Son always wants to bring glory to the Father. So everything you do in my name, truly in my name, will bring glory to the Father. And you know what Paul says, whatever you say or do, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Whatever we say or do is going to bring glory to the Father. So whenever we come together here, Sundays, encounter nights, in groups, wherever, we want the Son to bring glory to the Father. We want to say and do whatever God wants in the name of Jesus, that that name of Jesus will bring further glory to the Father. And then Jesus adds to that, so that your joy will be complete. See, I think our joy will only really be complete when we see the Son giving glory to the Father by the things that happen amongst us. Now, this is not to deny what God is doing already. We always need to be profoundly thankful for the way in which His Spirit is moving, for the miracles that are already taking place and have been taking place, for the people that do receive healing on a regular basis. People are being healed. But what we're talking about is a matter of degree, isn't it? There's always room for more. And not only for more of God's activity, but for more of His activity to be seen. Because it's when people see that they are challenged in their faith. But I believe, you see, that when we have such confidence that we dare to believe the most extraordinary, outrageous things, in a sense, can take place, that word will get around and will draw more and more and more people. You see, Jesus knew that the miracles attracted the crowd. You put on a healing meeting anywhere and you'll get a crowd. Right? You put on a meeting about holiness, and the angel of crowd control has been very busy because there's hardly anybody there. Now, holiness would be the top of God's hit parade and healing somewhere down the list. But in people's estimation, healing, the miraculous, that's number one. They'll be there. And Jesus didn't tell people off for that. I mean, he knew that they were there. They were there. Many of them were there with their own agendas. Like, you know, when it fed the multitude, we saw how they were rude, to say the very least. I mean, absolutely cheeky to Jesus to suggest, well, you've only fed us for one meal in the wilderness. God fed us for 40 years. And Jesus, in effect, says to them, you're only following me because you want another cheap meal. You know, Jesus wasn't fooled by the reason why people gathered in big crowds to hear him. But he knew that people wouldn't be able to hear him unless they gathered to hear him. So he was quite happy to go on healing the sick in public as well as privately, because sometimes he just took people apart, didn't he? Ministered them one-to-one. It wasn't all that happened in the big open meetings. But he was happy to have this reputation of the power of God working through him in such a way that he sometimes couldn't enter into the town. He had to go into lonely places, and the people had to come out to meet with him. He was quite happy for that, because he knew that as a result, more and more people would hear the word of God who otherwise would not hear the word. So I believe that God, not only here at Kingdom Faith, but His purpose everywhere, is to really restore the miraculous to the church. And that doesn't mean the miraculous isn't present, because in many places, wonderful things are happening. But you know, it's nothing like what happens in times of revival. And just the restoration of the miraculous is part of that revival process or purpose that God has for His church. And we see it as we were seeing in the Bible college yesterday. We were seeing this in Stephen. And this is the challenge for all of us, see. Because I think all of us in this room would say we've been filled with the Holy Spirit. So how does the Acts of the Apostles describe Stephen? A man full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. A man full of faith and the Holy Spirit. A man full of grace and power. And he was just waiting on tables. He wasn't an apostle. He wasn't in the leadership. But he was full. It wasn't a matter that he had been filled, but he lived full of the Holy Spirit. So he lived full of wisdom, full of faith, full of grace, full of power. And what does John tell us? You have received the anointing of the Holy One, the Spirit of holiness. You have received the Spirit of the Holy One. And that anointing remains. So, since God gave you the fullness of His life when you were baptized in the Holy Spirit, He hasn't taken anything away. He hasn't taken any of that fullness away. We know that because we've also read this in the last few days, the disciples were filled in Acts chapter 2. They were filled again in Acts chapter 4. God's purpose is never to take away, but always to add. To keep on anointing, to keep on pouring out His Spirit, to keep on filling us with the Holy Spirit, with wisdom, with faith, with grace, with power. Those five things that were operating in Stephen. That's a wonderful chapter, isn't it? Chapter 6. I love that chapter. Chapter 7 is a bit more challenging. Because we don't want to get stoned, but we do want the faith. We do want the power of the Holy Spirit and the grace. So let's stick to chapter 6 this morning. And pretend it isn't the seventh today. But this is the challenge. Because you see, it would be easy for us to step back and say, well, God has just anointed me for what I need to do today. No. God wants to take you beyond what you're doing today so that tomorrow is different from today. God wants to see more and more of what He's put within you being expressed through you. And you see, this is where we have to get back to this loving God with all of our mind, because our mind can so often be centered upon ourselves and what we need or what we desire to see God doing in us, that we lose the focus on what He wants to do through us. And you see, Jesus, His focus all the time was what the Father wanted to do through him. And this is what he was teaching the disciples. I mean, even before they received the Holy Spirit, because they had been listening to his teaching, he sent them out to preach. He sent them out to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to cast out demons. He sent them out. Of course, the Spirit would have gone with them, even though they weren't filled with the Spirit at that time. But he sent them out to do the same things as he was doing. He sent the 72 out to do the same. And they came back overjoyed that even the demons submitted to him. But Jesus says, well, don't rejoice that the demons submit to you. Rejoice rather that your names are written in heaven. In other words, rejoice rather that you belong to the kingdom. And what you've been doing is the kingdom business. And the kingdom business is not about you. It's about what God will do through you. It's about the way God will touch the lives of other people because you go out and dare to preach the gospel, dare to speak the truth, dare to trust God, dare to stand on his word, dare to believe that God would use you. True, faith is daring. Daring to believe that God will do what he says he will do. Daring to believe that his grace is sufficient for you and his power will be made perfect through your weakness. Because you see, even if we love God with all of our strength, if we look at that simply from a human point of view, our strength is very weak. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. But when we look at the power that God has made available to us by the Holy Spirit, well, God is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or imagine according to that power that is already at work within us. Not something that we don't possess, but the power that is already at work within us is able to work through us. So you see, if we love God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, our prayer, our aim is, God, use me. Use me for your kingdom purposes. Use me so that others can receive your truth, your life, your power, your healing, your grace through my life. It isn't that you're necessarily going to be a pastor and a prophet or an apostle or anything like that. Stephen was just a servant. But because of the power of the anointing that was upon him, mighty things happen, even through those acts of service that he was doing. The point is, if it's there within you, you can't keep it to yourself. So, what's God saying? Pastor Clive said on the vision night, it's time. So, God has been speaking to me these last few days, last few weeks really, but especially the last few days about faith, 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 faith. Stepping out, daring. You know, I think often we can say, Lord, I'm just waiting for you to do it. I'm longing for you to do it. And God's saying, children, I'm just longing for you to step out in faith. I'm just longing for you dare to believe me. Because as soon as you dare to believe me, you will see my power at work. I believe God is waiting for us. It's not a question of us waiting for God. It's time to step out. Oh, these next few weeks are going to be interesting. Mission Week. We'll probably need to be renamed Miracle Week. So you've just got 2 or 3 weeks to get used to the idea. And what we want is testimonies of the miracles. Why not? Why should we ask people to believe in a God who's almighty unless we demonstrate that he is? I feel just as challenged as you. Because God has no favorites in this. He's addressing all of us. He wants all of us to step up to the mark and to see God doing much, much more through us. Remember, it's not a question of denying the value of what he's doing already. Praise God. He adds, he builds on what he's doing. He never criticizes judges. He's very happy with all the things that he is doing among us at present. But he knows, and we know, there's much more. And we want to see the much more. Is it all about miracles? No. But it's not all about the absence of miracles. It's all about living in the supernatural power of God's kingdom. Jesus teaches us to pray, may your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Is his kingdom a natural kingdom or a supernatural kingdom? Is his word natural or supernatural? Is his spirit natural or supernatural? See, Jesus came and demonstrated the supernatural in the natural. Then God pours out his supernatural spirit into the natural lives of natural people in order that the supernatural life of his kingdom will be manifested. So God confirms the gospel of the kingdom with the works of the kingdom. Hallelujah. So, he says, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing and greater things still. Well, he loved, he served, he blessed, he encouraged, but he also healed and did the miraculous. And somehow, I don't think we can understand greater things still without realizing that means the supernatural power of God will be manifested through each one of us that is a believer. All we've got to do, beloved, is dare to believe it. God wants a whole congregation of people here who dare to believe that God will work through them in supernatural, miraculous ways. Dare to believe it. Faith, dare. dares to stand on God's word, dares to trust in the anointing of the Spirit, dares to believe the promises of God. Love for God dares to believe and to persevere in trusting Him. Let's all stand, come into the middle. Now, we don't want to put our focus on the miracles, we want to put our focus on the miracle worker. Amen. It's the miracle worker working through us. And a miracle is not just a great, you know, getting somebody out of a wheelchair. That's a miracle, all right. But a miracle is any intervention of God's supernatural power into the natural. So it's expecting that when we pray, supernatural activity is going to take place. That we're not just satisfied because we've prayed and we feel that we've fulfilled a duty or an obligation, but we have released something of the supernatural power of God into the situation in which we pray. So it's not just healing, it's much more than that. I haven't been talking about healing, I've been talking about the miraculous this morning. That includes healing, but it's much, much bigger than just healing. We expect the supernatural activity and power of God to accompany us. What we say, what we do, how we pray, our expectations are for the miraculous. So let's just focus on the Lord and thank Him. Thank Him for the anointing. Jesus said, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. We read that in chapter 1 of Acts. You see, Acts has got to come alive for us. We're not just reading it. These early chapters of Acts have got to come alive. They've got to be realized. They've got to be outworked amongst us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, Lord. You know, some people say the Acts of the Apostles should really have been called the Acts of the Holy Spirit. I disagree. I think the wisdom of God is greater than that. Because without faith, the Holy Spirit can't operate. He operates through the faith of His people. So you could say that it's the faith of the apostles would be an apt name, as well as the Acts of the Apostles, because without faith there wouldn't be any Acts. And the Holy Spirit would not have been able to use them in the way that He did. So just praise God that He is the author and perfecter of your faith. Hallelujah. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Pupara sadabaria leto bakala sandaria leto bakala sandaria. Pupara sadabaria leto bakala sandaria leto bakala sandaria. Pupara sadabaria leto bakala sandaria leto bakala sandaria. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that your Spirit wants to write a new book, The Acts of Kingdom Faith. The Acts of Kingdom Faith. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, we thank you for the faith of those of whom we read in the Acts of the Apostles. But thank you that you are the author of such faith in us, that you can perfect such faith in us. Hallelujah. Thank you that we have the same Lord, the same word, the same anointing, the same kingdom. Thank you, Lord. There is no difference. We don't have anything less than those early saints had. We have the same life. We have the same power. We have the same anointing. We have the same word. We have the same kingdom. Lord, all we need is the same faith. All we need is the same faith. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just work that faith in us, we pray. So that we expect the supernatural, that people are in awe of what God is doing amongst us. Just as they were in awe of what was happening in Jerusalem. Hallelujah. Let kingdom faith become a Jerusalem, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you for the faith that dares, for the boldness and the courage of faith. Give us that faith, Lord. Work that in every one of us. Not just in one or two, but in every one of us, Lord. Work that boldness of faith that we dare to believe. We dare to trust your word. We dare to speak out. We dare to pray expecting the miraculous. We dare to heal the sick. Not just to pray for them, but to heal them. That we dare. Give us the faith that dares, Lord. Come on, pray that over your own life. Give me the faith that dares. You can even pray, Lord, give me that faith that seems dangerous. It seems dangerous at the time. But thank you, you always honor such faith. Hallelujah. That sometimes it's dangerous. It seems dangerous to act. It seems dangerous to speak. But you will honor that boldness. You will honor that confidence. You will honor that daring. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that Mission Week is going to be Miracle Week. Yes, hallelujah. Yes, so, Lord, we pray that we will obey the leading of your Spirit. We will step out in the boldness of faith, not waiting for Mission Week, but getting used to it before Mission Week starts. Oh, thank you, Jesus. This week, Lord, this week, this week, this week. Thank you, you don't speak to us so that we can file it away for future reference. But you bring to us a word that you want to see fulfilled immediately. That you want us to act upon immediately. Oh, the faith that dares. Let me tell you, that faith that dares, you don't feel anything. Sometimes you even feel a little scared. But you don't listen to your fears. You listen to your faith. You listen to the word. You plant the word. You sow the word. You see the word being outworked in people's lives. Hallelujah. Just thank the Lord that he's called you to use you. He's called you to use you. Hallelujah. He's called you to use you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now thank him for what he's already doing amongst us, not just here at the college, but in Kingdom Faith. Thank him that healings have been taking place. God has been glorified in the way that many people have been blessed. Lives are being changed and transformed. God's not starting something new. He's adding to what is already happening. It's always God's purpose to add. So thank him right now. He's adding. He wants to add. There needs to be more, a greater boldness of faith, a greater daring to step out in faith, a greater dependence upon the Word, greater perseverance in faith. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. There's so much more you can do in us and through us. So much more fruit for the glory of the Father. Thank you, Jesus. Pupara sarabaria leto bakala sandaria leto bakala sanduma. Basandaria leto bakala sitri sandaria leto bakala sanduma. Basandaria leto bakala sitri sandaria leto bakala sanduma. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Poratapariya leto bakala sandaria leto bakala sitri sanduma. O papara sarabaria leto bakala sitri sandaria leto bakala sanduma. O papara sarabaria leto bakala sandaria lenama. Oh, hallelujah. Pasarabaria leto bakala sitri sanduma. O papara sarabaria leto bakala sitri sandaria leto bakala sanduma. O papapakara sanduma. Now God has been working out his holy purposes amongst us these last weeks. Remember those constituent parts of holiness, the love, the faith, the purity, and the power. So now we've come to the power, you see. Hallelujah. It's part of the holiness that God wants to see outworked in our lives. Just as there's to be an increase of love, an increase of faith, increase in purity that he's been working amongst us, so also the increase of power. Power in our praying, power in our witnessing, power in our ministry to others. Hallelujah. And you see, when Isaiah met with God in his holiness, we know that he heard God say, "Who will go for us? Who can we send?" And his response is, "Here am I." He didn't say, "Here am I, send somebody else, or send my brother or sister." He said, "Here am I, send me. Use me, Lord." Can you pray that this morning? Use me, Lord. I want to sow good seed. I want to water that seed with thanksgiving. See, that's what Jesus did. When he raised Lazarus, he'd already sown in prayer. Because he stood before the tomb and said, "Father, thank you that you have heard me." Then he watered his prayer with thanksgiving. See, "Thank you that you have heard me. And I know that you always hear me." He sowed and he watered it with thanksgiving. Then the miracle took place. Hallelujah. So can you say to the Lord this morning, "Here am I, use me, Lord." You might feel, "Well, I'm just little me." Exactly. Those are the people God uses, the little me's. Stephen. Who was Stephen? Just a member of the church. but others recognized in him, he is a man of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. He is a man of faith. He is a man of grace and power. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Can you ask God to make you such a person? A person of the Holy Spirit and wisdom? A person of faith? A person of grace and power? Can you say, I want to be a Stephen, Lord? Somebody who's happy to serve in whatever capacity you call me to serve you. But to see your life and power working through me. In whatever ministry you give me, whatever service you call me to fulfill. That it won't just be the natural, but your supernatural life flowing out of me as rivers of living water. Can you dare to believe that? See, this is where the daring begins. Lord, I dare to believe that you will use me. I dare to believe your word. That you are able to do far more than I can ask or imagine, according to your power that is at work within me. The power is already at work within you. God is already using you. But he's saying, dare to believe me for more. Dare to believe me for greater things. Dare to believe me for the supernatural. Dare to believe that your power is going to be effective and powerful. Dare to believe that lives are going to be transformed because you touch them with my love. You touch them with my life. You touch them with my power. Dare to believe that. Dare to believe it. You might not see how all this is going to be outworked, of course. We can never see that before it takes place. But dare to believe that it will take place. Hallelujah. How much more effective will Mission Week be if it's a miracle week? How many more people will come into the kingdom as a result? Hallelujah. Wouldn't it be wonderful if a crowd begins to gather because of miracles that are taking place? Out in the marketplace. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Wouldn't the Son bring glory to the Father through that? Wouldn't we get excited? Hallelujah. 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 There is no fear in love. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. Come on, this is the anointing you have. The anointing of love. You can love him with all your strength. Love him with all your strength by daring to trust, daring to believe. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, thank you, thank you. I don't think God is always pleased at what he works amongst us, but I don't think God is satisfied. He always wants to do more. Don't you think that? I think God always wants to do more in our lives. And I want him to do more in my life. Do you want him to do more in your life? Yes, thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord, we thank you for all the ways in which you use us already. We thank you for all the things that we see happening. We thank you for all the growth and development that is taking place in our lives and throughout Kingdom Faith at this time. We thank you, Lord, for all that you've been doing through these 36 days that are coming to an end now. But, Lord, we want those just to be a launch pad for even greater things for the rest of the year, because it was the tithe of the year, so that we would see you working increasingly throughout this year. And we bless you for that, Lord. We praise you for that. Oh, we thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Yes, 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 yes. Praise you, praise you, praise you, praise you, Lord. We bless you. We bless you. What a mighty God. What a mighty Lord. What a mighty, mighty Jesus. What a mighty King. Lord, thank you that you promise to confirm your word with signs and wonders. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Give us that expectation that we can live in the supernatural power of your Spirit every day of our lives. So we thank you for all that you're working in us, for the praise and honor of your holy name. Come on, let's just praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Popara sarabaria ledo bakala sandaria ledo bakala sidiri sandama. You know, I never choose what to say on these keynote mornings. It's always what I hear from God. And very often, as with what I've said this morning, God is challenging me for days before he says, right, now this is the word to bring this morning. And I was up in the middle of the night, and God was just talking to me about this daring. Faith is daring to believe, daring to trust in his word. And he wants to see that boldness, that courage of faith that dares to stand on his word. Hallelujah. So, Father, we bless you, we praise you, we exalt you. What a mighty God you are. We thank you that it is time. It's time. It's time to see. It's time to see the outworking of all that you were saying to us in the vision night. Not just this, but all of it, Lord. Thank you. This is going to be a year to remember in our lives because of the way in which we increasingly see your Spirit moving amongst us. So we praise you, Lord, that we don't have to limit you at all in what you're doing. But thank you, Lord, you are increasing our vision and our expectation of how you're going to move amongst us, for the glory and honor of your name. Hallelujah. 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 Can you just finish by saying, here am I, Lord, use me. Amen. Hallelujah. Be blessed.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.